Standing at the base of Longhorn Mountain, it's easy to see why Cushing-based Materials Service Corporation would want to mine here. It's brimming with limestone. Veins of it form neat stripes along the mountain's entire length. And there's lots of money to be made crushing stone and selling it as building material. But Phil Joefish DuPoint is far more interested in the cedar trees that grow here.
Okay, that's all you want is the cedar. Mm-hmm. And this is how the old people said to get it. See this deal right here? When they say you can get it, just pull it like that.
The tribal historian pulls a handful of cedar leaves from a tree straddling a barbed wire fence from the side closest to the road.
But once you cross this fence, technically, you're trespassing.
Technically, yes. In reality, DuPoint tells me that for decades, there's been an informal agreement between Kiowa members and the private non-Kiowa owners of the eastern half of the mountain who are okay with the tribe using it.
We don't own any part of it. We did at one time, okay, but we don't anymore.
In the mid-1800s, the mountain was part of a Kiowa reservation. Later, it was broken up into lots and given to individual tribe members. When the Great Depression hit, the Kiowa owners sold. Fast forward to 2004, when landowners on the western side of the mountain agreed to lease their land to Materials Service Corporation and President Larry Stewart. The legally required announcement was made, but unless you're an avid reader of the Hobart Democrat Chief, you probably missed it. Kiowa Tribal Museum Director Amy Tallbone sure did.
The definite time that we learned about it was in May. That's when we had a consultation meeting.
Of this year?
May of this year, we learned for sure.
That's when she started seeing help wanted ads in local papers advertising jobs at a new rock quarry. She's not the only one upset about it.
That south wind, it's going to cover my house up, and the dynamite and of it's going to tear the house up. We'll have to move.
Pete Fisher and his family live and farm within a half mile of the proposed mine, the lone protesters of the permit in 2004. But the family didn't specifically ask the State Department of Mines for a hearing, so there wasn't one, and the permit process continued. It probably wouldn't have mattered anyway. Brett Scholar has been with the Department of Mines since 2002 and director of the Minerals Division since last July. He says the agency isn't in the business of outright denying permits.
I can't recall myself when we've done it. Not in my time here.
All the proper forms were completed and the requirements met, and that's all it takes.
We can't impose anything extra on them that we don't want on anybody else.
It seems the only one who could stop the mine is Larry Stewart. Amy Tallbone says she spoke to him once, not long after learning about the mine.
He said that he wasn't going to stop the project. He said it would be like a stopping a moving train, something like that, to that effect.
Was the company aware, whenever they leased the land, of its importance to the tribe at that time?
No. In fact, we leased it from the landowners, and at no time were we told of any utilization of it by the tribe.
Attorney for Material Service Elizabeth Nichols says no date has been set for mining to begin, and that she reached out to the tribe, but hasn't heard back about a possible date to meet and discuss its concerns. Poor communication helped cause this problem, and apparently continues to be an issue. For State Impact, I'm Logan Layden.